Hello, and welcome to a very special 50th episode of
Buddies in Space.
You are
S. Michael Smith, and you are
M. Michael Carassi.
And we're here. I'm on the floor.
Kind of.
There's about maybe 3 inches between my butt and the floor.
What?
I think that's close enough to be floor.
It's the most comfortable 3 inches in the world, though. It's love sack. It's 3 inches of love sack. And I don't even mean you're sitting on my balls. It was low-hanging fruit. Just like my balls.
You went there.
So we have a special Halloween 50th episode interactive podcast tonight. we're doing all of our non-lazy shit in one podcast. So all those non-themed episodes we've had, we're making up for it with this.
I'm not entirely comfortable with this, and I just want to put that out there.
I'm so much more excited by that fact. Just in general, sexually, as a friend, it's all just exciting.
So I feel like we should just start it. We're basically going to ruin a movie for you by talking through it.
Not just a movie.
All right.
This is a gonzo art house, from what I can tell, a gonzo art house movie that you're in.
It is that. And I'll talk about it more as it's playing.
Okay.
And yeah, I'm in it. I'm not in it a lot. So there's going to be lots of time for me to just tell you about various stuff.
And, nice. This will be somewhere between Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Director's Commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's what we're aiming for.
You're going to be the MST and I'll be the Director's Commentary.
And the cringing actor who's in it. So we're going to try something new. We're not in our usual my man cave. We are in a different man cave. We're in the video game room downstairs. So we're going to play the movie and I'm going to cue you. So I'm going to put a link up to this. You should already see it. Unless if you're looking at this on iTunes, what you need to do is you need to search for The Beast Pageant on Google. It's going to give you a link to a Vimeo video that you cannot get on Vimeo if you search Vimeo. I don't fucking know why. Maybe it's a cached thing, but you cannot find it on Vimeo itself. But if you Google search for The Beast Pageant, it'll come up. It's an hour and I believe 13 minutes long.
Yeah, and there'll be instructions for this on the Buddies in Space website.
Yeah, there'll be a link in
it. So let's just stop. Assume you've gone through those instructions by now. Because you've stopped and then went through the...
Right. If you're, again, if you have an iTunes...
I just started drinking. I promise. This is not a good start for me.
Again, if you're doing a podcast subscription on iTunes, you don't normally go to our website to access the podcast. Yeah. Stop and go to the website, buddiesinspace.com, provcasts, just to get instructions on how to watch. This is interactive. So you're going to watch the movie along with us. We're going to sync it at the exact moment I hit play. And
we're just going to talk through the whole thing, basically.
Yep. So extra long episode.
If you want to watch it for yourself just to appreciate the movie, then just do that. And then come back and do the podcast.
Totally cool.
However you want to do it.
Yeah. I do want to say, Smike, it has been an honor of doing 50 podcast episodes with you.
It has been quite a pleasure for me because I just show up and talk, basically. And you do all the heavy lifting on the technical side, on setting things up.
It's true.
And even, you know, doing things on the website and uploading and making the connections with Stolen Dress. And yeah.
It's been a pleasure doing all of the work and having you here on occasion. You were totally my Jonah and Matt to my Chris Hardwick. Nerdist joke. Okay, with that, anything else or should we jump right in?
No, let's just jump into it.
Okay, so this is the equivalent of me doing my clapboard slating in a movie. So there will be audio from the movie on the podcast. So you can listen to the movie quietly once you've synced it with the podcast. And that way you can kind of get that interactive feel. So on the count of three, when I say three, press play on the movie, listener. One, two, three. I hope the guy.
Jabba Dabba Productions. All right. So it's probably going to go through the credits here. This is a movie that was largely done by these two guys, Albert Burney and John Moses. Yeah, it's playing. I can hear it.
Yeah, there's no video, though.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, okay.
It's one of those artsy things where, you know, there's some music and then black. And then
naked dude naked with a beard. Smike, is that you? Is that your dick?
That is not me.
Am I looking at
you
your dick?
You should know. Come on. You can tell that's not my dick.
Well, it's not your ass, I can tell you that. Okay, so this dude's neither in my pretty, ass nor my this dude's pretty good, in good shape for a kind of scraggly looking.
He's
all right.
He's an older guy. There are a lot of people in this movie who are not like trained professional actors. This guy is one of them, and he's got kind of a significant part in the movie. You're going to see him a lot later.
He's got a good squint.
Yeah, what he does have though is a great beard
and a great cock.
Yeah, and no qualms whatsoever with going full out nude for whatever shots they want to take.
I can see that.
So again, this isn't one of the two guys. This is neither Albert Burney nor John Moses.
The filmmakers.
And there's the ball.
The ball.
You'll see more of the ball later.
Sort of a cannonball, a bowling ball. Oh, it's one of his testicles. Okay, now I'm getting a theme here. Right.
So I'm just going to give you some backstory on the movie.
Does the movie make any sense?
Sort of, in parts. There's going to be a lot of music, a lot of singing in it later. I do not sing.
Mm-hmm.
And there it's like turned into a bird, I think.
What? Is he going to let the bird live in his pubes?
There you go. See a bird. See an animated bird. And then not an animated bird. So these guys, John Moses and Albert Burney. Albert Burney, I don't know if they met there, but that's John. That's John. He's the main character of the movie.
Okay. Aw. I like that moth.
They were working, they were both working at the theater at the Eastman House.
Okay. Art House Theater.
The Art House Theater.
Of quite
so they were big, big Art House fans. And both very artistic people in their own right. There's a lot of weird stop motion animation.
Yeah, a lot of stop motion.
There we go. There's the machine with the girl.
Okay, so this looks like a Mystery Science Theater style movie with a chick in a golden globe kind of thing. Crystal ball.
Yeah, so... I have to get more. I forget if they met here or if they met in Delaware.
Okay.
Because I know Albert is from Delaware, and Albert played with the Spinto Band.
You've
heard of them?
Yeah, I know the Spinto Band. Hey Mandy, it's a good song.
Okay. So yeah, Albert, who's behind the camera in this.
Whoa, that is an efficient toothbrush.
It is. There's lots of clever stuff like that.
Whoa.
Albert was one of previously a member of Spinto Band. He worked with them, and I think he also worked with the Rah Rah Riots.
Yep, heard of them too.
Cool. I can't remember if he performed with them or he just worked on some video stuff for them. I think he directed a couple of the videos.
He's not gonna have sex with that, is it?
Well, it remains to be seen. And there was the naked guy again.
Yeah.
One of the animated commercial scenes here.
This is very Mommy, what's weird.
Your
favorite? Fish
chompers.
So.
Only way.
Oh, God.
It's a lot of fish stuff in here.
Fish okay.
I don't know what the attraction is with fish.
They like fish. The Spinto Band likes fish. That is one dumbass looking fish. Wow, that fish got hit a few times with the baseball bat.
So, what I really need to talk about.
Just say fish choppers into your speaker horn.
What I really need to talk about is how this movie came about.
Didn't they find the camera?
They did. It's not a hyperbole. It's not a legend. It's true. They literally found a camera, a very old camera, like one of the oldest of the old movie cameras that was made.
Wow.
And they found it in a dumpster.
Okay.
I don't know who put it there or how it came to be in the dumpster or what they were even doing at a dumpster.
Did they also find this telephone in that dumpster?
Probably. They found a lot of stuff in trash. This is a very trash heavy movie. But they found this camera, and because they're young and crazy kids, they decide to say, hey, let's see if this camera still works.
Right.
And it did.
Okay.
And I mean, it's an antique. Don't know how it got in a dumpster, but it did. They got it. And they thought, hey...
Oh, there's a title of the movie.
There's a title. Wouldn't it be kind of cool to make a movie with this old-fashioned camera?
And for no reason related to that, they made a bizarre art house.
Well, what other kind of movie are you going to make with a camera that you find in the dumpster?
Martial arts movie? I don't know. This is
the movie you have to make.
I don't think that's true.
Think it is.
Is there a rule book somewhere?
Let me talk about this camera. All
right.
So, way back when these cameras first came out, movie cameras first came out, they were not really very efficient. Mm-hmm. Not efficient at all.
Sake to me.
All right.
Thank you.
Pouring you some sake. So, it's a hand crank camera, but it's got like a spring and gears or whatever. So you basically wind it up, and then hold the whatever combination of buttons you hold to get it to record.
So you're not cranking it.
Okay. You're not cranking it while you're recording. Mm. You crank it before you're recording. You record and then you hit play and it unwinds.
In old movies, they show people actually hand cranking.
I don't know if
filming,
that's
right?
true.
I wonder if that's not accurate. Yeah.
I kind of think it's not, but I'm not a camera buff.
Is this the same dude as Mr. Stripey?
Yeah, that's Abe. He's our main dude.
Okay.
This is his job. He gets fish for people, pretty much. Again, very, very fish-heavy job. Fish-heavy world.
So in
the future, we all eat fish all the time.
I mean, hey, that's a good sign that we managed to not kill them all off, I guess. So just to be clear, there's the fish. And there's some pills. Some fish pills, maybe?
So, I got to put a pill in the fish. It's vitamin fortified now.
Well, of course. They like vacuum tube technology.
Yes. So, I got to talk more about this camera because it's really, it's fascinating. And
to you.
It is very interesting. So, it's not a very efficient camera.
Okay.
And the film that it records on is
I'm surprised
you
were able to find it.
Well, that's another story. But the recording time for each reel is like a minute.
Whoa, so this movie is filmed in 113 seconds.
Yeah,
plus whatever got edited out.
Ridiculously inefficient. So, like, after every minute of filming, they've got to stop and get into a very dark environment.
And then
change the film out. And you know, literally, he'd be like, we'd be recording, and he'd like, people would like throw a couple of like jackets over him, so he could be in the dark and trade out the canister for a fresh one.
This is remarkably inefficient. Seriously, animation that I saw in high school, that done by high schoolers.
Okay, but you understand the technology that they're working with here.
Yeah, I guess this is advanced technology compared to the camera.
Yeah. Tuna.
Is that his real voice?
Yes. Of course, obviously, after all this, there's no audio recording on the camera.
Right.
So everything you're hearing was dubbed in afterwards.
Yeah.
And they had a lot of fun with the dubbing.
The man likes fish. He works with fish all day. He eats tuna at home.
Yeah. I would be pretty tired of fish, personally.
Yeah, but you know, we don't live in a world with a crazy zany machine like that.
Yeah. Does this...
Was she hot?
I never really saw... I never met her.
Aw. I mean, she's got a hot, you know, head. Ooh, don't stick your hand in there. Dear God. Haven't you ever seen Indiana Jones at the Temple of Doom?
No, this is his machine. The machine takes care of him, you know. The machine isn't going to, like... bite him or anything.
All
at
right.
least not yet.
Did he...
Oh, flashback. This is a flashback. And not to spoil anything, but there's going to be some fish in here.
Dude, I did not see that coming.
You won't see it coming. Even though I told you there's going to be fish.
You got to slow down with the spoilers,
You won't
bro.
See it coming.
Holy crap.
It was actually a really cute scene.
Okay, dude, enough with the flowers. Jesus. Haven't you ever heard of deforestation?
No, you don't see what he's doing? It's cute. It's silly, cute.
No, what is
he's
he doing?
He's doing the best he can.
Doing the best he can.
He's only got three flowers. He's got to work with it. He's got to work with it. I think those are fake flowers.
Is she a little on the slow side? Oh, fish.
It's cute. They're having the game. Now, see, this should be a warning. If you see a fish just fall down,
yeah,
it's probably not a good idea to go over.
She was buried by fish. He's taking this well. Oh my god, she's turned into more fish! Ah, I love fish so much!
So, back to the camera for a second.
Oh my god.
What? It's cool. They thought, you know, one of the problems was, how are we going to get filmed for this? It just so happened that there's Kodak, there's a company called Kodak that's really? Nearby.
Still? Because...
Yeah. And they had some sort of weird special, like, archival program or something going on, whereby they would give them the film for this and process it for them.
Why?
I don't know why. It was like, it's some sort of weird, like, historical program that Kodak has.
No, Smike, you're...
No, I'm not making this up.
Dumb and missing the obvious. They happened to find a probably very expensive antique video camera. They got Kodak to process that with rare film for free. Clearly, this movie's a mob front. Come on, what other explanation is there? Only it's really just a way to spend the money and not so much to launder it and make money, because I doubt this movie made a lot of money.
I think my scene might be coming up. One of my scenes.
Ooh.
So they came to one of our improv shows, and they approached me afterwards and said, hey, this is probably going to sound really weird, but we want you to be in this movie that we're trying to make. And then they described the role to me, and I was like, you're right, this does sound pretty weird. There were... yeah, you got to get that checked out.
Yeah, you should see a dermatologist or...
Hey, you! Get back to work!
So again, this is no budget. This is all, like, handmade props and everything.
I love that all the wallpapering is just, like, black electrical tape that they just put in stripes and in checkers.
Yeah, I think it was just, like, black and white, like, wrapping paper.
No, the lines are too uneven.
Oh, were they? Okay.
Yeah, they have to be taped.
That makes sense.
Whoa! Oh, I love... Oh, this is one of my favorite porn videos.
But for all of the, you know, for all the knocking of it, there are some scenes in here where they, like, whether it's by design or by accident, they really have some cool shots in here. I do like this. I mean, it's all, you know, kind of thrown together.
Your wall's moving. You might want to call a wall wallinator.
It's just, yeah, little stuff like that. There's a lot of cool stuff going on in the movie.
That's a big dude. Is he on some kind of goofy cell phone
see
thing?
See the dot going back up again.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
More sake? Are you drinking at all?
I am. I'm drinking a little bit.
All
right. I got a little reflux going on.
You got some agita from watching the movie? Listen, I have a stop-motion claymation thing burrowing out of my abdomen. Maybe you guys can, you know, speed me up. Is this urgent care? Oh my god, this is urgent care. I see he has good insurance.
Yeah, they're... all this was filmed in Rochester. They did a lot of shots in I know they did some of the shots in like around in the Hungerford building.
Okay.
So a lot of stuff in like the old sort of downtown industrially.
I was gonna say old rundown industrial.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It fits the view of this movie.
It does.
The aesthetic. It looks like he's in an electric chair.
There you go.
It also really looks like at least an electric chair.
So this is advanced medical technology.
Wow.
See, they even have a diagram of a.
It's very convincing.
I have an intimate scene with that skeleton later.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's right. That's the only foreshadowing thing I know about this movie. Are you the doctor?
No.
Head vacuuming.
Lift up your shirt. Lift up your shirt.
Thanks, Obama.
So I get for getting my insurance on the insurance market.
Yeah, this is me coming up actually.
All right. So, shh. Oh, you're not gonna bore us with shit about the camera while you're on the screen?
Hey.
Yeah.
Wanna buy a hammer? A hammer? I ain't got no hammers. Nobody's said nothing about hammers.
So, that's why they call you Watermelon Man, huh?
Who said anything about building?
How long ago was this filmed?
I think we were filming around 2008 or 2009. The film came out in 2010.
This is like 7 years ago. You look younger.
I am.
About 10 years. Don't think this the wrong way, but you look like an unscary pinhead.
So, yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. Of course, when they said, hey, we want you to be the Watermelon Man, and we want to put watermelon seeds all over your head. I was like, what? It doesn't really make sense. I mean, because watermelons don't have seeds on the outside. But nope. This is their vision. And, you know, there we go.
Whoa.
The double dual brush. And who am I to argue with their vision?
They definitely had a vision.
So, yeah, there was a good 30 minutes to an hour where they just went around sticking the seed. They were actually real watermelon seeds.
Really? Wow, that's... Aw.
Oh, it's the kissing tube.
Little kisses. So did he make the machine?
They made all this stuff.
No, did he make it in the movie? Did he build the machine?
Probably. I mean, it was really just the two of them, John and Albert.
You're missing the question. Did the character is?
Oh.
Is it like everyone has a machine, or did he make it himself because he's lonely?
That's.
Oh my God! It's a dribble.
That's a mystery, man. That is a mystery. No, I don't think he made the machine. Okay. I think this is more of like a dystopian thing where everybody has their machine.
Right. And
it takes care of them. At least that's my interpretation.
It's deep, man.
It is.
It's deep.
No, what happened there? What are all these little things? What could they be?
You have a migrating carpet.
And that's where Donald Trump gets his hair pieces.
Oh, you know, that makes a lot of sense. And if it wasn't black and white.
They have to kill like 20 of them, though, just to make one.
It's so inefficient.
It's cruel, really.
And if this wasn't black and white, we'd, of course, see that they were orange.
There we go. That's not me. I'm not going to be back in for a while.
Beast. This is called the Beast Pageant, guys. Yeah. Hey, you joined the movie? I'm a beast. See my antlers? I'm made of leaves, or maybe, you know, orange juice. I can't tell. It's black and white and darkly lit. Okay, so this future has trains, and they transport nothing.
Somebody clever out there would probably be able to figure out exactly where that is, but it's not me. I have some ideas, but I don't know for sure. Yeah, there's more of their handmade props.
Yeah, those look like 8-tracks.
Oh,
Whoa, this just turned into Silent Hill.
Nice bubble wrap suit.
This just turned into Silent Hill.
There's some little bit of creepiness in this.
That's not bubble wrap, man. That's like aluminum foil. Like this one of them metal suits.
I think that's it.
No, it's not bubble wrap. It's too shiny.
Okay.
Oh, it's my like God, he's a fish wrap. Magician.
Well, this fish got to come from somewhere.
Apparently, it comes from creepy metallic pyramid head's brother.
Okay, there we got the flashback.
Flashback of the fishing. It's like the quickening, only way less interesting.
It's like Silent Hill, instead of ashes, it's just fish.
Right, yeah. Okay, I'll buy that. Due to the recent power failures, no lights on in the hallway. I'll walk you to your room. That is an incredibly inefficient.
I really do like the way that the lighting in this shot came out. And this is one of those things where like they only just tried this a couple of times.
Huh.
And it just, I think it looks great.
And this is something you can probably only really accomplish with that camera and film.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is the cool thing about film, how it just stops. There's a certain light level where it's like, I ain't gonna pick shit up.
Yeah, I love that shot.
That's cool.
And again, it's one of those things that they just sort of, there I am again.
I thought you said we're gonna be in this for a while.
I forgot. I'm in that little, not really a flashback, but like a nightmare. I am the nightmare.
Okay, we got flowers going zoom. Fish.
Oh, he's back to the fish.
Man, this guy cannot get over these fish. God, just because your fucking girlfriend got crushed by falling fish. Move on, man. MoveOn.org. Don't do it, new fish.
Well, see, that's the whole problem. You can't really move on from fish because that's pretty much it. I mean, you live in Fishtown. You're in a world of fish.
I will give you that there is a world of fish that he lived in. I cannot deny that fact.
I am in a world of fish.
So, I am all that is fish.
That was
goodbye, boy.
I was making the platoon reference there.
I've seen that once.
Okay, not in the movie, but that the I live in a world of fish.
I got it now. I didn't get it when you said it.
Okay.
So did you and the hammer bond? Like, did you have a favorite hammer? Like, was the hammer a dick? I've heard the hammer's kind of an asshole.
I don't know. I was just in with the claw hammer, and I had a few. It was a heavy, they'd rigged up that jacket for me, obviously, with all the hammers inside it. It was a little heavy.
Pretty heavy jacket. But I mean, did you have a favorite hammer? Like, when you were at craft services, you were like, if I had to hang out with any one hammer, I'm going to hang out with this hammer, like a number 5 ball peen or a...
No. Gotta be a claw.
Okay, that's fair. So you had a favorite.
The claw is more intimidating, I think, than the ball peen.
Okay.
Do you disagree?
I do, because the ball peen seems like it shouldn't be. And so if someone's coming at you with a ball peen, there's something more scary to me about that, because it's like, that wouldn't be my first choice. You must be very confident in your ability to hurt me with this hammer. I don't know. There's something about
it. The claw's got that. Claw. I mean, it's called a claw.
But it's not. You have to be at the right angle for the claw. Have you ever actually like swung the claw side of a hammer for fun?
No.
Well, as someone who has, I can tell you that you need to get the right angle, or it's not quite as dangerous as you might think. Jet shoes.
I know, right? Right. I would buy those.
They seem very stable.
I would buy those in a second.
Yeah. I wouldn't like the severed foot aspect of it, though. I'd like to keep... Can I keep my... Oh, yeah. Okay, let's not move the bone around.
The commercials are edgy.
Just say new shoe into your speaker horn now.
New shoe. New shoe.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is a really strong vacuum.
They had a lot of fun making the noises and the dubbing for the commercials and stuff. We actually had a party at their place and did a lot of this dubbing, but I think it didn't the recording didn't come out very well, so they had
to do it all over.
So I'm unfortunately not any of the
you're not a feature.
I'm not in those voices.
You're not bleh.
I just did. I know. I wanted to be. I had some really good blehs and wows and some fun sounds, but
you missed your calling, dude. There's no doubt of it. I've often sat and thought, you know, Smike should just be a guy who goes bleh in movies. He'd be amazing.
Maybe it's not too late.
Are they still around? Like, were they from Rochester? Why were they here?
I'm not sure. They were also pals with a certain Nicholas Gurich, who you may better know as the guy who does the Perry Bible Fellowship.
Ah, that's right. I remember you telling me all this like years and years ago.
Yeah. He was a really cool guy. And when we had the opening night or whatever, the cast party, he was he hosted it. It was his place.
Did he have really weird art?
A little bit, yeah, I guess. I don't know. It was packed with people. But he did give me an autographed version of his book for free.
That's awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
He's a
when I realized who it was, I was like, you do that? And he's like, yeah, you want my book? And it's like, hell yeah.
You come to my house, you drink my booze, I give you an autographed book. Ooh, I like this one more. We're drinking warm sake, by the way.
Yes.
And we're getting progressively drunker as we go. Soda and pop. Oh, they're, you know, good for them.
They don't choose sides.
It's that kind of bipartisan, like, harmony that we are lacking in our current political structure. Did you see I tagged you on Facebook?
No.
New York Times posted something that is, like, word for word your concept for your Trump article.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I have to look and see if they stole any phrases.
They didn't, but Erica was like, that's hilarious when she saw it. Battleship shave.
Yeah.
Extreme.
The razor.
Whoa.
That is the manliest razor you will ever find. Rah! Look at that. Yeah. You want to shave with that, don't you?
That is the single scariest thing I've seen in this movie so far.
That was pretty good. I like that one. I like the razor ad.
You know, I really appreciate the Kyoto Scudu that they're using here. The juxtaposition between light and dark. I think it speaks a lot about, you know, the inner struggle that we all have in terms of our humanity and fish.
Fish race.
And I love their 8-bit music that they use a lot. So was there, like, critical acclaim for this movie? Did it get a wide release?
It went around. I mean, you can imagine... You know, it went around to some of the indie festivals.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It got decent buzz. You know, it wasn't. I don't think it was up for any awards that I recall, though I may be wrong. But it was generally well received for what it is.
What is it?
We haven't even gotten to the musical stuff yet.
Well, given that they had all this indie band connections,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Glory shades. So this isn't the guy who was in the bands? It was the other guy?
Right.
He's taking this well.
Well, what else can he do? He's been told that he's perfectly fine.
He's perfectly fine. It's like that scene in Alien.
Oh,
Kara doesn't understand what she's saying.
All right, things are happening now.
I don't need shoes. Dude, you really gotta get that hole like that.
You mean the hole in the wall?
Yeah. It's a very... Oh, it's a MagSafe. It's got the... Yeah, okay. I got it.
Oh, well, things are happening. Things are happening. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I already know. It's in the description of the movie. So I'm not going to say anything. It's pretty gross. If I had a guess, Mike, I'd say a tiny cowboy was going to burst out of his stomach.
You are correct.
Thanks. Where did the guitar come from?
And now we're in the musical portion.
All right. It's just the whole portion of the movie. Okay. I guess that's true.
Some pearls of wisdom here.
Yeah, no, I'm digging it. You gotta feed the serpent its own damn tail. That's Ouroboros. I don't understand what that's getting at.
He's giving them a clue.
Oh.
Feed the serpent its own damn tail.
Oh.
There we go.
No.
Shouldn't the machine not be on? Uh-oh.
Whoa. What just happened? He just blew up the whole thing.
Yeah, it actually blew up the movie. That was weird.
Wow. Now that is impressive special effects.
Damn, that is some 3D right there.
It's a screen actually, the TV screen that we're watching on actually just completely fuzzed out right there. It's too much. Too much signal.
Whoa. It's too much creativity, man.
Too much fish.
It's no such things, Mike. Ah, it's gonna bury me in fish jumpers!
I listened to that cowboy.
Yo, you should not feed the machine.
Get out of there. This is not a good place to be.
Yeah, you should feed it its own plug, apparently.
I mean, it might seem pretty awesome that now you've got more fish choppers than you could have ever hoped for in your entire life.
Yeah, you can swim in fish choppers.
You could be like Scrooge McDuck, only with fish choppers and milk, I guess. Because, yeah.
You know what? That actually physically makes a lot more sense than diving effortlessly into massive piles of metal coins. And they sort of...
It's kind of like an adult...
like ball pit?
Ball pit, yeah. I wonder if that would work. If you took, maybe not the fish choppers, but, you know, milk jugs and made a ball pit out of
that. No, Smike, it only works with fish choppers.
Yeah, well, fine. You know how expensive those are?
No, I know. I thought the machine just gave
them to
you. Gotta
go to Lori's Natural Foods for those.
Mm. Yeah, that'd be expensive. So he's left the industrial world behind and he's entered a pastoral paradise.
Yes, we have left the dystopian... nightmare, and maybe even left the fish.
No,
I don't know.
Mike, can you really ever leave the fish?
Well,
looks like he's just got Woody attached to him.
Yeah, the special effects are not. I mean, they are what they are. There's only so much they can do with things that they find in dumpsters.
Is this movie entirely, like, only comprised of things they found in dumpsters? Because
Largely, yes. Because these guys had, like, no money.
You can call me Zeke.
Zeke? All right.
Yep. Zeke. Who is the capital Z?
So you get that?
No.
So his character is named Abe.
Oh,
and then we have
Zeke,
so you got the whole... It's very...
Oh, and the machine is Amazon.com!
There you go.
Uh.
Paper mache finger.
Zeke, where are we?
Whoa, Zeke, where are we?
Well, by the looks of it, I'd say that we're here.
It's very zen.
Yeah. Zeke, zen. See? You get it? You get it? You get it?
I'm going to hit you. I just want that set up. It's on... You recorded it. You can bring up this podcast and make the judge listen to it and to defend yourself. Thank you. I need more booze. Doma Arigato. Fucking dandelions.
Nice little shot.
Oh, and it blew and everything. Oh, whoa. It's my guy was the key grip who was blowing on the dandelion. I never told you. So I was in New York when you filmed this, right?
Probably.
09? Yeah, 09. Yeah, I was. Yeah, because I remember you doing this when I wasn't here. All the cool shit happened after I left.
I know. There's so much cool shit that you missed. And then after you got back, it was like, nah.
Nope.
No, we don't do that stuff anymore.
I show up for rehearsal. I have one member of the group whispering weird shit to fuck with me during rehearsals.
What? Yeah, okay.
And then I was like, oh, this troupe isn't what it was. And I missed all the festivals.
Yeah. The tiny house.
Oh, Portlandia does a lot of sketches about that.
Do they really? They have a tiny house skit?
Well, they're making fun of the micro houses, but they're actually livable.
Howdy. We couldn't help but notice that pineapple pie you're cooking. That's an old family recipe.
Oh, another naked guy.
Well, we don't have much to offer you, but by any chance, do you feel like dancing?
I do feel like dancing.
Don't put the book down. Don't put the book down. Don't put the book down.
She's going to put the book down.
God damn it. Ah, she put the book down. Were they a real couple?
I think so. Again, I never met them.
They'd have to be, because that's just too awkward otherwise.
Yeah, especially the...
Ooh, look at that star tattoo. Yeah, she's a minx. I actually know what that means, but...
It's a charming little scene. He's bringing some happiness to this couple here. And...
I'm just watching their faces of the actors being like, okay, just do this. It's okay.
These were not, like I was saying before.
Not actors.
These were, yeah, not. I mean, obviously they're actors because they're acting in a movie. You know what I mean.
Well, yes. They're not trained thespians.
They are not trained thespians. Like, me, who wields the hammer in such a trained way.
I feel, Smike, I feel like when I look at you, I never stop to think, oh, that's Smike with watermelon seed stuck to him. I think, that is Watermelon Man. There is no delineation. There is no separation between you and your character.
You don't appreciate, and I mean, you do appreciate it when you see it, but the time I spent... among watermelons preparing for this role.
So you did character research?
Oh, yes.
So did you go to Watermelon Patches? Did you kind of hang out at the bins at Wegmans?
Yes, no. The Watermelon Patches in their natural environment.
Okay, no, that's great. I mean, I respect that.
Because once they're in a bin, I mean, what's the point of that? They've been taken out. They've been
put
in such an artificial world. They're not real watermelons.
You know that
they're not free to be themselves.
Partly adhere to the paleo recipe diet, and I'm all about free range. So the fact that you did your character research with free range watermelons is very admirable. I wouldn't be able to eat that pie were I on my diet, which I rarely am.
You could eat this pie.
Here you go.
I don't think it's going to be a lot.
See, yeah. I think you could manage that with
your diet. He just ruined his fasting for the whole day. Actually, that might not be fit. Do you know you can continue, your body will continue fasting if you eat under 50 calories?
What?
Yeah. So that might have actually...
What does that even mean?
So
your body continues.
So when you're fasting. In a fasting state, your right. body won't break the fasting state if you eat under 50 calories.
So how often do you get into fasting states? Is this like a...
Every day.
So you do it just up until like afternoon or something?
So I fast from 8 p.m. to 2 p.m.
Okay.
I mean, most days. Sometimes I'll skew it by an hour. But yeah, generally.
Oh, and there's the ball again.
It's the giant testicle.
Now we see where the ball came from. Ball's like... I'm going to go get that boy.
Boy?
Boy ran away.
I'm a ball.
Should I go in?
I'm going in. I think this ball has been drinking sake
with
us. I'm
fucking going in.
Is it? I'm not going to go straight. This ball would not blow a zeros on a breathalyzer. Let me tell you that right now. Watch your head. Well, there's no shortage of woodlands in the area to,
Yeah, I forget which park this was, but, yeah, I had a little scary scene in this park.
Ooh.
Not right, not coming up.
Wait, were you molested?
No.
Okay. Because, you know, what you said kind of be interpreted in multiple ways.
Well, gosh, I'm getting the hiccups from the sake. This is embarrassing.
Do you want some water?
No. Shut up. God damn it.
Well, this ball gets around.
Ball's got a mission. Go get him, ball.
So what if the cowboy hurts? He seems to be okay with it.
You mean having him there?
Yeah, just like burst out of his stomach.
You know, once he's out, that was the only part that hurt.
It was an itching.
Well, you know, it was itching before, and right. then he's got to break the skin
right.
to come out.
But I guess once it's in, the skin starts to heal around.
I think so. I think, you know, I think from, like, waist down or so, it's just healed skin.
Okay, but he's stuck.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, Zeke is clearly an extension of Abe.
Yeah, I mean, I get that.
It's not like there was a guy in there who was, like, fighting his way out. Because, you know, he's there. He's emerged, but he's not. It's not like trying to leap out of him.
It's his inner musician.
Yeah.
Beast pageant!
Oh, there we go. Not sure how he feels about this.
They're dancing. Those must have been the most uncomfortable costumes ever. Oh my god, it's just pine needles.
Yeah, they're all pine needle costumes.
Holy shit. Thank you. I've had nightmares like this. Where I'm having to wear that. And eat Brillo pad pie.
Well, I can only assume that they were more comfortable on the inside than on the outside.
I don't know, I think they're twitching from discomfort. It looks like dancing, but I think they're like, dear God, help
us. Yeah, I'm just glad I wasn't in one of those. If nothing else, I'm sure they were very, very warm.
Yeah. Was this filmed during the summer?
It was a pretty long filming period. It might have been. I mean, he's got a short sleeve shirt on, so... Can't be that cold.
Yeah, films have never discomforted their actors.
Right.
Ever. It's never happened. Now this is sort of where the wild things are. A little bit of that. What about scrotum?
Zeke's cool with it, though.
Yeah, Zeke just goes along with everything.
They're not carrying him home.
It's probably for the best. There's a ball with a mission after him.
And be... implied tree person rape.
Yeah.
Gang rape. Yeah.
This is definitely feeling like that Evil Dead tree rape scene.
That definitely came to mind the first time I saw this. Incidentally, I am not one of the tree people. Just in case anybody was wondering, I had nothing to do with this.
You know,
scene.
Spike, it's funny. I didn't ask if you were. It's like you just volunteered that, like, in an embarrassed kind of way.
I mean, that's some fine tree dancing.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe you're one of the people raping him.
Here we go. There's the money shot. Yeah. Abe has been somewhat violated there.
Yeah, but he's kind of like, well, whatever.
He's walking it off. Walk it off, man.
Hey, the fact that he can walk right now is a good sign. Oh, good, there's a motel. Even in a pastoral paradise, there's power lines in a motel.
My sister's in room 9, in case Arnold gives you any trouble.
There's milk in the fridge, it settles his nerves.
We'll be back before midnight.
There's milk in the fridge, it settles his nerves.
Thanks.
Have you seen Eraserhead?
No.
Okay. Well, that's too bad. Because this like scene is very, scene? Yeah, this is like...
There's something about a baby in Eraserhead, I know that. It's kind of weird, misshapen.
Yeah, weird, fucked up baby thing in Eraserhead. And that was a big influence for this scene.
Okay. The scene or this movie?
Well, I think the movie in general, there's you can't say that they weren't at least influenced a little bit.
You know, you're aware of my like incredible dislike of David Lynch, right?
We've never really talked about it.
Yeah, I really dislike David Lynch.
Why? I don't mean that. Let me try it again. Why? Why is that?
Well, Smike, I'm glad you asked in that exact tone, because that makes me feel like answering you.
Why?
Well, now I'm not going to answer.
What is your problem? No. Seriously, though?
Well, that's the way Erica responds.
I'm curious as to what your objection to David Lynch is.
So, in my own little Trumpian way, I like to feel smart, and I generally... I generally have...
You are smart.
Thanks.
You're a smart guy.
Thank you. Boom.
And believe me, I know smart guys. Oh, it's a giant nipple.
That's a giant nipple. I've more or less figured out most of the cues that movies and TV shows give a watcher, a viewer, you know? So I'm generally able to, if not from the trailer, then from the first 10 minutes of a movie, figure out what the fuck's going to happen. That's disgusting.
I think I'm actually in something coming up here.
I'm sure you are. David Lynch doesn't make any sense. So when I watch his movies, I have no fucking clue what's going on, what's going to happen, what happened. Oh, that's just like a real baby. Oh, they did get a real baby.
It's a real baby.
Someone should tell these guys how babies are born, because I think they may be a little confused.
Uh-oh, what is that?
Seriously, Watermelon Man?
What?
Ha! Spike, the times I've cradled you, you've never laughed at me like that.
That was fun. Come on, that was fun. I have been wondering that for so long.
If I only had an answer to that question.
I don't. I have never been able to come up with an answer for that.
I was sincerely hoping this would be the movie that would answer that question.
No. It's left unanswered, and it kills
me. No. And okay, we're just going to keep moving.
Ball's coming. Ball's coming. Look out for the ball.
Yo, that shit's rolling. Rolling, 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 rolling. Oh, and horses. It's tragic that the cameraman died, like, at the end of the scene. And the horse ran at him. I feel like this is that horse pasture on the way to Eastview Mall in Turkey.
It might be. I don't know.
You know that hill I'm talking about? You take Turk and you cross...
Mm-hmm. Look at that. Rolling uphill.
How does it do that?
It's a magic ball.
that the special effects budget for this movie is infinite.
I know. They had to figure out how to defy gravity for that.
You can't cheat that shot at all, Smike. There's no way. Those really look like eggs you buy at Wegmans.
They probably were. Or most likely Tops.
Tops, honestly. Yeah, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
They're not cage-free eggs.
Aldi's.
Yeah,
I keep hearing that Aldi's is like somehow connected to Trader Joe's.
Oh, yeah, it's a whole thing. So the guy who started Trader Joe's and the guy who oh, no, it's attacking the people.
Yeah.
Yo, this ball's an asshole. Ball what? How did it light their house on fire?
Ball does not like naked people.
Wow. Naked people
it's a very religiously conservative ball.
Okay.
Well, and that's enough for me
to dislike it immensely. Yeah. Hey, it's the Tribbles.
Hey, it's Trump's hairpiece again.
Oh, yeah. So the guy who owns Trader Joe's is the brother of the guy who owns Aldi's, and they are arch nemesis.
No, seriously?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Not unlike, actually, weirdly enough, they're German, and I guess also the guy who started Puma is German and is enemies with the guy, his brother. His brother's an enemy with the guy who created Converse. Apparently, it's a thing. I guess you can look it up. Oh, Eric can look it up. But yeah, Aldi apparently is the top 10 generic brands. So that doesn't mean they're bad. They're just not name brands. But they're like, they've carefully selected.
But are they the same, like, items that you would get in Trader Joe's, only packaged generically?
Well, Trader Joe's is packaged generically when you think about it.
Yeah. They're generic in that they're Trader Joe brands.
Right.
But are they the same things?
I don't think they're the same things, but I think they put the same care into finding.
All right,
so we've seen the pine
tree
guys.
People, now we got the rock reapers.
Rock, okay. He just gets raped by every element. It's just like fucked up porn version of Avatar The Last Airbender. Oh, God, the air people rape me. Now the water people are raping me. I will say the music is really good. I just like to imagine the Spinto band helped with the soundtrack.
They probably did.
The Flaming Lips made a really weird indie movie, too. Must be a band thing. I don't have to drive. Hit me with that. Thank you. Yeah, they're beating the man on the head with a rock. You know, considering the violence I'm seeing inherent in the system.
I think that's the same dancer. It's got some of the some really similar moves to the tree dancer guy.
Ah, now we're gonna go rape him. See the title? See why I thought of you? So this is what prison is like. So the question
that's
is...
That's what they mean by busting rocks in the chain gang, right?
But that guy's
getting
busted
by
rocks.
The rocks.
Yeah. Busted in the arse.
That was...
Wow. That's pretty accurate. So the question is his music getting him raped over and over again? Or is it saving him from getting
raped worse? I don't know.
Rapeder. Is that a word?
Suddenly we're in a giant cornfield.
All right. Oh, now it's, what the fuck is that Matthew McConaughey movie with all the corn? Fuck. What is it? The weird sci-fi movie. Did you see it? We tell you not to watch it.
The, Signs?
No. Matthew McConaughey wasn't in Signs. It's Mel Gibson.
Well, who's the other guy? Wasn't there one of the McConaughey's
Joaquin
in that?
Joaquin Phoenix. One of the Phoenixes.
That was Joaquin Phoenix?
Yeah.
Before... I keep thinking he was a McConaughey in that role.
It
could have been.
There's only one McConaughey.
What? No.
There's multiple McConaugheys?
Yeah, aren't there?
I don't think so. There's like multiple phoenixes where there used to be.
Well, who's in the Night at the Museum movies?
Ben Stiller?
No, the...
Oh, Wilson.
Oh, Wilsons, that's right.
Yeah, there's multiple Wilsons.
The Wilsons are the ones I'm thinking of.
There's multiple Wilsons, Trebek.
What's going on there?
Okay, so someone's giving a skeleton head. And it's you. That's some good head bopping. You got some good head bopping there.
Now, see, as an actor?
Yeah. Smike, as an actor, what was your motivation in this scene? When you did your head bop, what was your process?
I'll give you the most pretentious actor thing I can about that scene. And it's that I knew where the shot was coming in at the distance it was coming. And this is the thing, I'll tell you this and people can be like, oh, that's interesting. Probably not. But if you do, you can see this in other shots. When you know where the shot is, and you can back me up on this, because you've done film.
I'm going to leave you hanging because it's funny.
No, you're not. You're going to back me up on this. A legitimate question to ask when you're being filmed as an actor is, where's the shot? And I'm moving my hand up and down my body.
How much of me is in frame?
Exactly.
How much of me will end up in frame? Yeah.
Yeah. And it's legitimate.
I mean, no, that's dumb.
It's like one of those questions that actors can ask that's not like, that's a stupid question.
And no, that's like a director's like, oh, it's a good question.
Yeah. There are dumb questions that actors can ask. And this is not one of them.
Am I lit correctly?
And the reason you ask that is so that you know how much of your body to use when you're acting, when you're moving, when you're doing whatever you're doing.
Were you masturbating? Because you knew he wasn't asking. Oh my God, you were! Oh my God, you were totally jerking off during that. That's how you got the head bop like that.
And again, this is super pretentious acty shit.
That's super technical acting shit.
Okay.
Boobs.
Some very excited boobs.
You know, I will say
I think it was just really cold
there. Well, she's in water.
Yeah.
I will say that the boob to dong ratio is pretty solid in this movie. Because don't get me wrong.
There's something for everyone, honestly.
I don't think that only boobs should be in a movie. I think there needs to be more dong. I mean, just to make it fair, right? And let's be honest. I think most women would agree that dongs are very awkward to look at. Boobs are nice. They're consistent. There's
especially the flaccid dong, which we've seen a lot of in here.
Well, because, again, to
it's
go
not,
back to all
the
way to Seinfeld, does
the
she know about shrinkage?
The flaccid penis is just not impressive.
Here's the thing. Okay, so as a guy, this is always my thought. If I see a flaccid penis in a movie, I think, okay, yeah, no shit. If I see an erect penis in a movie that's not porn, I think, what the fuck is this guy doing here? Right? You should never be hard unless you're a porn actor in front of a camera. I'm sorry. I firmly believe that.
That's interesting. But I think that's true.
Yeah, I've thought about it.
I mean,
this.
You even see one movie that comes to mind for some whatever reason.
Sideways.
I haven't seen Sideways. I was thinking The Piano.
I haven't seen The Piano. That was during Harvey Keitel's I'm going to show my dick in every movie phase.
Yeah.
No, that was the thing.
And there's a scene when he's completely naked.
Yeah.
And was it Holly Hunter, right?
Yeah, and Anna Paquin, too.
Holly Hunter's also, they're both completely naked, and he's nothing down there. I mean, something, but, you know, no action at all.
Which is comforting.
It is, but it's, when you think about it, it's weird. It's you got a naked Holly Hunter here, and you're Harvey Keitel. I mean, come on.
Have you ever read an actor talk about what filming a sex scene is like? Have you ever read about that? It's always there's 30 people in the room. They're all staring. They're concentrating on lighting your junk correctly. So everyone's focus is on your junk and her tits. I think the most common thing I've read about this, oh, now you're going to get fucking fucked by a pineapple person?
I don't know. I don't know where it is now. He had the water person. You would think this would be air, but it's not.
Or earth, but...
But they already had rocks, so that would be redundant. But it
looks like a pineapple.
Yeah, this might not be a rapey scene.
But yeah, from what I've heard, sex scenes in movies are the least sexy thing ever.
I don't know what else to do. I'm going to help
look at that. That's a...
It is nice.
Good for him. He's just helping to dig.
Because who knows? Maybe there's gold in here. Hey, maybe there's a treasure.
Pineapples know what they're fucking doing. What color is a pineapple's fruit?
What?
Gold.
It's golden.
Pineapples know where gold is, Mike.
Wow.
I think that's the real meaning of this deep. Movie, right? No, the hole. Think about the hole is deep. You're
this
right.
This is pretty deep. Oh, what? Do we have a treasure?
Oh shit.
We got something. What do we have?
It's probably
here?
A pineapple, and he's gonna feel really dumb. No, it's a shell. What the fuck were you digging for the whole time?
Is this it? Is this what you're looking for, man? No, no, it's okay. It's cool. You, Nope, don't put it in your eye. Put it in your mouth.
Someone didn't have a very good visibility.
Yeah, somebody's got hardly any visibility there.
Wow, we just gave him it. Oh, so instead of getting raped, he had to blow someone else. Come hilarious. On, at this point, you're going to dig me on that one.
Are we going back to the other thing, where the did we already cover that enough?
I think we moved to penises, so you're welcome to bring it back.
All right.
So, framing.
Yeah, not as in the, framing. So, like, where the camera, depending on how much of your body is in the camera, you know how much of your body to use to move when you're acting.
Also, part of that is, and this is what I don't think people think about, which I'm sure you did, but if you know that only your head is moving, like, or let's say like a small, like your profile, you know, your bust, your shoulders and head, something that stage actors, I've seen this in auditions, and you've probably seen this too.
Mm-hmm.
Stage actors really stand out when they're trying to act on camera.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah.
So stage actors are used to trying to broadcast the emotion and the feeling and their intent with their whole body because the audience is generally removed from the stage. But that does not translate well to film.
It does at a certain distance.
Well, yeah.
at a full shot distance, yes.
Does the ball have an axe? I really want that to be the ball.
Well, that is an axe. That is a...
Oh, it's a Minotaur. Well, Abe, it's been nice knowing you. Ha!
Oof. I was there when they were shooting this stuff.
Really?
Yeah. That's mostly chocolate syrup, I believe. Nice. I'm dead serious. This was tough getting that axe to stay.
Yeah, it's wobbling
there like that.
Ah, poor Abe.
Yep, that's chocolate syrup.
Yeah, I could see it, but
it's black and white. You can't see it.
Yeah, black and white.
It.
No. Now you say the viscosity.
All right.
Is chocolate syrup. But so with framing, so if you know that only your head is showing on camera, you don't want to be moving your head like crazy.
Right.
Because that is the main focus, so movement there is
going to
be massive.
So going back to that 10-second shot of me, I don't even think it was 10 seconds that we're still talking about.
Well, you had great
because
head
I'm I so have to talk about myself.
I think we've reached that point where we've stopped trying to keep up with the movie because it makes no sense. Yeah. So
I start, and I was consciously doing this, and this is more just like a tidbit about acting, not about how clever this is.
You're getting into the technique.
This is just very technical stuff.
Yeah.
So I start, when I was laughing, the camera was, the shot was like
torso.
Two-thirds of me or so. Yeah. And it was big laughing, big head bobbing, and as the camera closes in on my head, I make that smaller and smaller and smaller.
Because it would be too much if you were...
Exactly.
Yep.
So, yeah. And again, that's not like, this is how awesome I am. This is just like, this is a little tidbit about how...
I will back you up on this. I'll never...
Thank you.
I'll never forget...
Oh my God, Mike fucking backed me up. And there were some boobs there.
Yeah, I was watching that the whole time.
Just for a second.
Yep. No,
just
there were multiple seconds of boobs.
There is a little more...
Lots of flashes of boobs.
A little more boob.
Smike, when I booked my Time Warner cable commercial... And I had an interface with the Roadrunner, which was animated, which is the stupidest, worst directing I've ever experienced. Where's the Roadrunner? I want to look at it. It's
Where's
over there.
Where's the shot? Where's the cutoff?
Where's the Roadrunner? It's over there. Where's the director was 30 feet away from me, pointing to an empty space that I couldn't tell. anyway, I'll never. I'll never forget this. I was in my audition.
So you're doing an ad, and there's you've been told that there's going to be an animated Roadrunner in the scene with you.
Yes. I literally had to say, I have the fastest internet in town. And then I look over, and the internet, and the Roadrunner comes up and goes, beep, beep. And I, like, give that stupid commercial smile at the camera. But I'm supposed to look at the Roadrunner, and, like, I know that it's really obvious when you're not lining the shot up correctly.
Yes.
But the director is so fucking far away that he's like, oh, the Roadrunner's over there. And he's pointing at, like, 30 feet of empty space.
Yeah. And I'm like, so then you're like, what's his name in Star Wars with...
Yeah, with the Millennium Falcon flying out of the... Oh, wait, no, what are you...
No, I was thinking the Jar Jar Binks scenes when the...
Oh. It's you.
Oh, it's me.
So they actually buried you.
Yeah, I'll tell you about this in a second.
Because I don't think you're laying down.
No. Nope. Ooh. It was good that they got that watermelon at the last second. I was really scared. But they managed to swap it just right.
Nice.
There we go.
Of course, there's a hammer. But I bet he can use it to fight the ball. So the axe didn't kill him.
Yeah, it was kind of a rebirth thing.
That's a very huge shot. I wonder where they got that from.
I can't remember what park that was.
It's at, like, rolling hills. Anyway,
I think it was somewhere in Mendon Hills. I think that's it. This was out in Mendon Hills.
That makes sense. Anyway, the audition for that commercial was great. They auditioned us in groups of three. Or five, something like that. It was like just groups of people. Because they were just turning out a bunch of people they were casting at once. And I'll never forget, the director was so cool because she was so like East Coast snarky kind of thing. So there was a woman who could not act at less than an 11. Okay, you know, so what I mean?
So a stage actor person.
Yes.
Probably.
She had sunglasses on in the audition in a dark studio. Whoa, handshaking brings him back. So the woman tries to do a line that from the commercial and just like fucking nails it if you were 100 feet back.
Right, projecting as a stage actor would.
In every way, musicality, gesticulation. But I'll never forget being right next to her, I was like, holy shit, this is what? And the director, it was this really great woman. She smiles and she goes, I'm going to make a guess. You're a musical theater actor, aren't you? And the woman, no joke, the woman goes, how could you tell? And I was like, you're not getting cast.
Yeah.
You know, they could have at least gotten the two people out of that machine before they found the
scene. I know, but then they wouldn't have all the blood spurting out.
It's true. But that's still like, isn't there a laws against killing actors like that?
Not when it's an indie film. You would be surprised.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when it's indie, they don't have to pay you scale, they don't have to keep you alive, and...
Just those two things, those are the two things that are different.
It isn't like, I got no money or anything for doing this.
Really?
No.
I would have thought you were a millionaire for this. I thought all of your money is a dual income, no kid.
This is all just completely a lark, yeah, no,
So, Mike, I think being approached by two weird men and being offered the role of Watermelon Man would probably entice you.
It really did. And it was a lot of fun. These guys were great.
Dude, I think the biggest part of this fucking budget was all the chocolate syrup they went through.
Yeah.
You know what this shit costs?
The scene with me going down on the skeleton.
Yeah, we should probably talk about that.
I still say that was cunnilingus just because that was a female skeleton. Certainly.
I'm not convinced.
You can't argue with that.
I can argue with that.
That was done after all the other scenes were done, and they came and they were like, we want to put you in a dress, we want you to like pretend like you're giving oral sex to a skeleton. And I'm like, sure, why not? I've already done all this other stuff. And then I like show up and they take me into somebody's basement. And
oh,
like,
my God.
I know. It's like, here, put this dress on. Like, you know, if I hadn't already done some shots with you guys, I'd be really nervous really about doing this. This just sounds so sketchy. But no, these guys are so, so nice and fun to hang out with.
And the skeleton was just a real...
The skeleton was a real trooper.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm in a dress, but he's not wearing anything, or she's not. Oh, I let the cat out of the bag. It was a guy.
Penis, Las Vegas. I was so worried we weren't gonna see this guy's dick. The whole movie, Mike. I've been like, oh my god, if you don't see his dick, I'm gonna be so let down. Look at that tush.
That's a young guy with a nice ass.
You know, if I never had that tush.
I know. I never did either.
I'm in the best shape of my life. I still don't have that tush.
No. Some guys just don't.
Some guys have a tush like that.
I know. Some guys got
tush.
Some guys
is
don't.
Really fun. You ever said tush?
But yeah, we went out to Mendon Ponds and they literally were like, we want to bury you for this scene. And I was like, okay, well, let's be really careful about this.
So I'm fairly so sure they, this isn't
and
a
I took
film.
The I took the shovel and I was like, I was literally digging my own hole. Digging my own grave was what crossed my mind.
Mike, I know Holocaust survivors who have told similar stories.
So we're out in the Mendon, we're like hoping nobody's seen, we've gone off the trail. Hoping nobody says, hey, stop digging a hole.
Digging that grave right there.
Yeah. And it was, I had to be really careful. And
this pageant orchestra.
Yeah. There's probably, I don't know the Spinto Band people, but
I was going to say, there's probably Ra Ra Riot and Spinto Band people there. So you had to dig the own.
There's Gurich. Yep. Executive producer.
Mm-hmm. Mr.
Perry Bible Fellowship.
Not how I thought that would be spelled. He gave them $5 and that was the biggest budget increase they got.
So,
Did you get a haircut from Catherine Stannis?
No, I had no hair to cut for that. I was cutting my own hair. I'm doing my own shaving. So yeah, I made this hole and I thought about it and I dug only far enough so that I could like kneel there.
Okay.
And then they pack the dirt in around these like guys pack it really lightly.
Yeah,
and please
otherwise
don't
you can't.
Step on me. Yeah, and I've read stories about how people
like your,
would
your
get
chest
buried
can't
in the
expand.
Sand.
Yeah,
yeah, and then your chest can. And I was very very cognizant of that.
Actually, can I do a public service?
Sure.
If you're ever tied up, I think something else is going to start playing. If I don't exit out here, if you're ever in a situation where someone has captured you, and it is tying you up,
yes,
a trick. Is to very subtly, and it's very easy to do this because usually the person can't tell, expand your chest as much as possible.
Okay.
So take a deep breath and try to hold that pose. Also, this would apply to the situation you're in where you're...
Yeah, and I did that.
And what that does is that creates that cavity that you're filling creates, in the case of someone capturing you, slack in the rope so that you theoretically could then escape afterwards. But in your case would ensure that as that settled, as the detritus that you're being buried in settles, you have room to breathe. But good on you for thinking about that.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking about that. And you know, I could feel it. It was as I was just sitting in there breathing, it was loosely packed dirt, but it was, you know, it was wet dirt.
It looked good though. Like sometimes you can really tell.
I was there. I mean, I was buried. I was.
But no, you looked
buried.
And you were clearly upright because when someone tries to lay at an incline to see,
no,
it's very obvious.
We definitely did that. So yeah, as soon as the shot was done, like, were we good? Did we get that? Like, get me the fuck out of here now.
Did you feel claustrophobic?
I did. It was a little scary.
Yeah,
a little scary.
I bet.
And so yeah, the crew came over and they like, you know, dug me out real quick.
Did they get the pineapple guy to scoop the dirt off?
Yes. Yes, thank God for pineapple guy. He was in there before anyone.
So I'm taking the meaning of this movie to be that Abe to Z was addicted to Amazon.com.
Yes.
And only by destroying...
This is what Amazon.com will be in the future.
Yeah.
And they'll just run out of things to sell
well,
and they'll just be fish.
Did you ever read Transmetropolitan?
No.
You really should, because this reminds me a lot of the Mafia cube that he has.
The Mafia? Okay.
You have to read it to understand what I'm talking about. So only by smashing and so basically ending his Prime membership, if you will, allowed him to walk naked into the field. So here's my question.
Yes.
What the fuck was the point of the ball? The ball never got him.
No.
Or was I just
not
paying
beginning
attention?
Of the movie. You go back to the beginning of the movie.
Okay. It went to the dude.
It went to the dude. And it finally caught him.
That was him?
Was it?
No.
I would say yes.
That okay, was so he left it naked, and so theoretically he grows up and gets older.
He grows up, he becomes more one with nature. He starts to look like the old guy.
So he is the old guy later on, and then the ball finds him,
and he picks up the ball and then turns it and frees it by turning it into a bird.
Okay. So why was the old guy in the machine then? Explanation doesn't...
This is an indie film, so fuck you.
I'm shaking your hand because I accept that. Because you know what? Anytime you're watching a movie like this, that should legitimately... Everyone gets one of those. Anytime, whether you're in the movie, you're a fucking critic, you're me, you hate David Lynch, and you're trying to explain something and how bad it is, you get to say one time, because fuck you, this is an indie movie. I might be drunk, but that is still a legitimate explanation for anything.
Well, that was our 50th podcast.
Yeah. So should we keep the podcast going or are you done?
I don't know. What else is there? I've got stuff to talk about, but I can wait till the next one.
Yeah, I really want to talk about your birthday surprise.
Yeah, and the most pretentious dinner I've ever had.
Oh, yeah. We got some good podcast material there.
We do. We got some material, but it would take a little while to get into it, and I'd rather save that.
Yeah.
But if they're listening, I just want to thank Albert and John for bringing me into that. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It looked like
for
it was
all
a lot
the
of
crazy
fun.
Shit that they were like, we want you to do this. We want to glue pumpkin seeds to your fucking head.
Watermelon seeds.
The last one I think was pumpkin seeds. That they painted black.
I sensed the lie, and I just
if you look carefully, and you probably wouldn't. The very last one, the seeds were bigger, and there were fewer of them, and I think they had actually gotten the big pumpkin seeds and painted them black with like a Sharpie,
but they couldn't find watermelon.
It was just easier. There was an issue with watermelon seeds. There was a legit issue with watermelon seeds.
They were asking for too much money.
No, I'm dead serious. I'm not making this up. Because like any watermelon you can get like at a Wegmans or a Tops was essentially seedless.
Yeah, that's true.
So they had to go and get a fucking expensive organic watermelon.
Heirloom watermelon.
Yeah, like at fucking Lori's.
Oh my God, the watermelon seeds are the most expensive part of the movie.
But yeah, that first scene, they were authentic and expensive watermelon seeds.
Wow, dude, I've never been so proud of your paleo-ness as that moment. All right, well, you are?
S. Michael Smith, a.k.a. Watermelon Man. And you are?
M. Michael Carassi. Watermelon Man, would you do this the honor?
I'd be happy to. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos. And where's my cutoff in this?
The camera in this? Dick. Your
dick. Okay, so my dick, I'm waggling it. Videos really and books.
That's the best part. He's really waggling it.
Stolen Dress podcast, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. And I think finally, are we at the end of the...
Last night, I filmed, edited, and uploaded to YouTube, but did not yet publish my final two episodes of Broda.
Ooh. What will happen?
In the penultimate episode, you finally find out why Clint Westfall drank his own pee. And in the... because everything's so, you know, we're given so much creative control over our own thing, I actually, like, figured out what the, actually did some works, Mike.
You did some taste testing?
I did a little, you know, I figured out exactly at what point after what meal my pee tastes the best. I gave Clint a very nice arc, and it was a very touching moment in the end, and then that is the end of Broda. So Broda is not a project I plan on continuing. Mostly because beer and soda does not pair particularly well.
But you actually got it to, you actually figured out how to pair it reasonably well.
I kept accidentally finding things that weren't bad to drink. Like, it's not like, okay, I'm going to go out and buy this again to drink it.
Right.
But there are definitely moments where I'm like, oh, this is going to be terrible. I'm like, oh, fuck, this isn't bad. I have to fake not liking it because it's eminently drinkable. So yeah, so on the 27th, which will so this episode you are probably listening to on Halloween night because we're going to do a special Halloween night release because it's it's kind of Halloween-y with that movie.
This is. There's a creep, there's some creepy shit in the movie.
Creepy shit. You fellatioed a skeleton.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The baby scene was creepy.
Yeah, it was the elephantitis, man.
Yeah. If I hadn't been here, you know, prepping you for it, and
I'd probably
be like, oh my God, what the hell?
Actually, I'd be like, babies aren't born that way. I've seen it. It doesn't work like that. This is bullshit. So, yeah. So, on the 27th, the penultimate episode of Broda will post. And then the night after tonight, if you are listening to this, the night we publish it on Halloween night, tomorrow, the final episode of Broda will publish in sort of a publishing storm where 3 to 4 different storyline videos are posting at once.
Exciting.
Yeah. So the concept is...
Loose threads flying together.
Well, they've all, at this point, they've largely tied together. So the story of Jason Klom's very unwarranted presidential... bid for presidential election has sort of resolved more or less at this point. You're finding out what shook out, you know,
the denouement.
The denouement has happened, and now it's the wrap up, whatever you call that. What's after the denouement?
I don't know.
Everyone always talks about the denouement.
Close the book
because it's a really fucking pretentious word to say. So I was walking and I said, you know what is really this is a denouement. Ever tell you Jaylen's thing about Lord of the Rings?
No.
She's like, you know, I really have a problem because they don't talk that strangely normally, and then they're like, oh, we need to go to Mordor. She's like, they just suddenly do this orcish thing that makes no sense. And I was like, you know what, Jaylen? You're right. You're not a geek, but you're correct. Anyway, so Broda's just about done. So check it out. There is a massive story to it. It's pretty cool, unprecedented. I think it's 14 different vlogs telling a story, interwoven. Jason's more or less lost his mind. He is not in a good place mentally.
Aww.
From the logistics of it. I feel really bad for him, so I've tried to hit my dates and be consistent just for his sake.
Aww.
But yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun being involved. I'm sorry I never included you, but, you know, after Watermelon Man, it would seem lame. After you've gone down on a skeleton.
Maybe I can reprise Watermelon Man for this next time.
It is a vlogcast.
Yeah.
I'll fucking glue some seeds
to it. I could review Hammers.
I don't know where that comes from, but you know what? He probably would have found a way to fit it in. Anyway, thank you for listening. This was our 50th episode.
Yay!
This has been fun.
We're applauding ourselves.
Yeah. Let me just pat you on the back here. Can you get me? Can you just...
Oh, yeah. You get more because, again, you've done all the heavy lifting, all the hard work in this.
And at this point, it's not that. I've just
more than you can imagine.
Oh, thanks. That means a lot.
I do.
So hopefully we'll be around for 50 more and then we'll figure out what the fuck we're gonna do for episode 100.
Yeah,
I don't have to worry about that for a while.
Also, hi Simon, because I know you're gonna be listening to this someday.
Hello Simon, circa 2030. All right, we are out.